We want to make sure you know how to quote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through them, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff." Some people over there quiet. That's all right. Yeah. And you want the people to be able to quote these scriptures and tell you where they are. But many of the people that know these scriptures to heart don't know the God of that scripture.
Welcome to The Life Experience, a broadcast brought to you by Life Worship Center, where we're led by a dynamic duo, Bishop Denzel and Robin Rule. We are a church that lives in love, operates in integrity, walks by faith, and have been empowered by God. Stay tuned. There is definitely a life-changing word awaiting you. And now, here is Pastor Denzel with today's word.
During this pandemic, one of the generals of this generation of preachers and leaders went on to be with the Lord. One who was known in this neo-Pentecostal, this Pentecostal tradition of this era that we're in now, Bishop J. Delano Ellis passed some months ago, and one of the most profound preachers, and you'll listen up now, one of the most profound preachers of my lifetime preached his funeral, the Bishop Thomas Dexter Jakes. We know him as T.D. Jakes. So Jakes preached to the funeral, I think it was about 2 months ago, for J. Delano Ellis. And he made a statement that has ricocheted, reverberated throughout the church, and you're hearing it a lot, is constantly resurfacing on Facebook. He made this profound statement. Now, he preached a potent word. And listen, this is, he is the prince of preachers, anointed vessel of God. Ain't much of us who ain't get some material from Bishop T.D. Jakes. And yet again at this funeral, he did a powerful job with this word. He brought a potent word. But there's a statement that he made that is being quoted that I agree with, but I struggle with. Here's what he says. He says, "It seems as though the giants are dying and the giants are being replaced with midgets." That's what Bishop Jake said, and boy, that thing has gone viral. He says, "The giants are dying and the problem is the giants are being replaced by midgets." I'm going to use that very current quote. That thing's still in, the ink ain't dry on the paper yet, because that was just said. I really believe it was the month of November, but no later than October, when the statement was made by Bishop Jakes at the funeral of Bishop Jesse Delano Ellis, Metropolitan Bishop of the College of Bishops. I struggle with the statements that the generals, the giants are dying and they're being replaced by midgets. I can tell you why right now. My struggle is because, according to this text, watch the text. The text says, David says, "I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." That's where I messed. That's where I'm struggling. The lamb did not stray away from the flock. The lamb was with the flock the whole time. And there are many people who are preaching about the errors and the faults and the mistakes of the lambs as though the lambs left the flock. You cannot blame a lamb solely for the decisions of the lamb, because the lamb is not of age, and the lamb is only going to be a reflection of the sheep that's giving care to the lamb. I have grown up and grown up in the 80s and in the 90s, and we keep on hearing them talking bad about our generation. This generation that, this generation this. And I grew up in a church culture where they mash us down. They talk bad about these young people who they ain't got no training. They ain't got no hunger for God. They ain't got no passion. They ain't got this in the country. They ain't got no drive for excellence. They don't push hard. They lazy. All they want is a tourism job. And all they, you know, they want to be busboy and make tips in the casino. They don't want to get degrees, and all these things they say about our generation. And it's worse now with the generation that's coming, and they're behaving as though we raised ourselves. God, come on here, listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says the lion and the bear did not get a drifting lamb. They got a lamb from out of the flock. The lamb was where it was supposed to be. But the sheep that was around the lamb had failed to do their duty in protecting the lamb. My God, I understand that a sheep cannot fight against a lion and a bear, but for God's sake, the sheep should have made some noise to alert the shepherd that a lion and a bear are on the way. How is it that the lion and the bear got in, took the lamb, and you ain't say nothing? You ain't say nothing. And so I understand the context and the statement of Bishop Jakes at the funeral of Bishop Ellis, but I'm struggling because my question that I want to pose is, if the giants are being replaced by midgets, whose children are these midgets? Are you telling me that two giants got together and produced a midget? Are you telling me that from a giant, a midget was birthed? Because the midget didn't just show up. So if the giants are being replaced by midgets, the success of a giant, the success of a giant is seen by what a giant produces. In other words, the success of anything is confirmed by its successor. So my question is, are we rightly calling you a giant if what you produced is a midget? Have you really earned the title of giant? If you have not produced giants, then I wonder, I have the question, are you a thoroughbred or are you mixed? Are you really a giant? Because giants produce giants. How dare we talk about the flaws of the generation that follows us when we were the ones that cradled that generation. How dare we look down our noses and say and point out everything that's wrong with the generation coming up behind us as though they just popped out of the sky and they just fell on Plymouth Rock. Something is fundamentally wrong, and we gotta address this. The Bible says, if you train up the child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart. Here's what I understand about trains and the best way the writers were able to capture what was being said in this text is that they had to use the word train. The train up, this concept of training up, the best way to understand it is to look at a train. In a train, let me understand this. Number one, a train, beloved, does not have a steering wheel. Oh, God. God. Trains don't have steering wheels. Trains get on the track and they follow the track. Number two about trains is there's only one motor, one engine. There's an engine out front, and then there are carts or cars attached to the engine. And so one understands this, the carts do not have a mind of themselves. The carts are attached one to the other, onto the engine, and they can only go where the engine is. Understand, as the parent, you are the engine, and you determine, glory be to God, where the carts go. And so you cannot sit as though you're not culpable, sit innocently and denigrate and insult and punish, and out of your mouth just beat to smithereens the generation that came from you, when you are the one with the responsibility to attach them to your engine and take them where they ought to go. Giants are being replaced by midgets. Then I contend that, Brother Giant, you also are a midget. Are you really a giant? I'm not talking about Bishop T.D. Jakes. Of course he's a giant. Absolutely. Absolutely. But just looking at this statement in and of itself, if this is actually happening, Bishop Jakes, if we are actually seeing midgets being birthed from giants, there's something wrong with this giant. Ain't nothing wrong with the midget. Children were told to honor their parents so they can live long. If that child has lived long enough to inherit the throne of his father, then we got to start asking the question, did father really train up this child in the way the child should go? Did we really direct this child the right way? I heard this potent statement, glory be to God. Someone told me that you measure the success of a father. Watch this, don't miss this. The success of the father is measured by the grandchildren. I'm going to say it one more time. The success of the father is not measured by the children. It's measured by the grandchildren. Explain that, Bishop. I come in. Watch this. We are to reproduce after our own kind. So if you are a father, you are only a successful father if you raise up a successful father. And what determines the success of the father is the children that are produced. So then we know that the grandfather was successful when we see how the grandchildren turn out. See, if a father produce a good son, then we know he's a good man. But before we can call him a good father, we got to see the kind of father he produced. Successful. That's the key word, successful. For us to call the father a successful father, we have to see the grandchildren. Other than that, we can only call him a successful man because he produced a man. Am I teaching okay? Does it make any sense? Oh my goodness. How is it? Let me leave that alone. I hope y'all got it. Let me say it one more time. This is on the screen. The success of the father is measured by the grandchildren. you will not know how good of a father, how successful, let me be careful with that word, how successful Denzel is as a father. You will not be able to determine that until Anaya and Denny have their children. And then we will know he was a successful father. He may have been a good father, taking care of his children. That's a good father. A successful father is his ability to reproduce after his own kind. And that is the assignment that God has given to us. When you have landelo bokushada bahaya, it's going to be strong, but let me go ahead and say it. When you as a pastor do not have successors after you, then you may have been a good pastor, but we may not be able to call you a successful pastor. When at the end of your tenure, we are scampering about trying to find someone, and then we invite the Remen brothers to the service, and they say, who's going to fill them shoes? Who's going to do? No, that is not a celebratory point. We should know who will fill those shoes. If you are successful, the Ramen Brothers will be forced to sing another song. Invite them, being boys. I like them Ramen Brothers. But when you invite them, say, nah, don't sing that song. Because we know who will fill them shoes. Sing something else. Sing Bring Them In. I like when they sing Bring Them In. Bring them in. I like that one. Anyway, close bracket. So, the success. this is very serious in the body of Christ, you know. This is a serious issue that we have. That we have not, and what is so crazy is we have not been reproducing after our own kind, and that's our first instruction. That's the first mandate that we were given in the book of Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish. That's our first instruction given in scripture. And we're busy doing everything else, and we don't realize what indictment it is on us when we do not have successors. And I am not trying to throw stones at anybody, but I want to awaken us, because see, you know what this is exposing? That we have not been as focused on the lambs as we should have been. We've been so busy building sheep and concerned about sheep that we have not focused on the lambs. Somewhere along the line, the lambs have gotten lost in the mix. That's why we can parent for years, and what the fruit of our parentage, our children, don't look nothing like us. And what we say is, you could do all you want to do to raise these children, and they still embarrass you. You could do all you want to do, buy for them, all you want to buy for them, and they still make you look like a fool. No, boo-boo. The scripture don't support that, and I don't support that. I believe if you, according to the word of God, if you train them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. If you put them on that track, and you set them on the course that God has ordained for them, I believe they will not depart. I'm not trying to rebuke anyone, but I'm saying that in many instances, we don't seek the Father to find out the way that our children should go. And we try to determine the way they should go. We don't know where they should go. God tells them the word. He says, you don't even know what to pray for. So how do you know where your child's supposed to go? Because you wanted to be in Miss Bahamas and you don't make it, you're trying to make your child a beauty queen. That girl ain't supposed to be no beauty queen. God has another purpose on her life, but you're trying to make it what you wanted to be. No, Jesus grabbed some fishermen. Glory be to God. And he says, I will make you better fishermen. That's what true fathers do. I'm not going to make you a carpenter. You already, he didn't say, I'm going to make you a builder of tables. He says, no, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You already fish. That's what you're called to do. I'm going to take your fishing to the next dimension. Glory be to God. And as fathers, it is our job to find out what God has called them to do and take them to that next dimension of fulfilling what they've been called to do. And that's how we become successful. Successors. Jesus was a success. So that's how we become successful. He was successful. So successful that my God, when he left the scene, them brethren had their first service. 3,000 people get saved. First service. And the true sign, I think one of the greatest testimonies of Jesus' success is in Acts chapter 4. When them boys was before the high priest, them after they healed that boy at the temple. And those boys was before the high priest. And the Bible says, and when the high priest and them look at them, they said, boy, these boys must have been with Jesus. Glory to God. They said, these boys must have been with Jesus. They looked at them and said, boy, they carried on the way their father carried on. They carried on just like Jesus. So these boys must have been with Jesus. And I'm telling you that that's the sign of the true giant is the giant that raises up giants. If the giant is being replaced by midgets, giant, you fail somewhere along the way. All right, let me get back to this text and close it off. I'm going to close it real fast. Stay with me. I'm going to run through this, and I hope you get it, and I'm done. Here's it. The lion and the bear were in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The lion and the bear, they came into the flock and they took out a lamb. And my struggle is, why wasn't the sheep where the sheep needed to be to let the shepherd know, hey, lion and bear reach? Why did we not find out about the lion and the bear until the lion and the bear actually got in the flock? What went wrong? I got three things for you. What went wrong? Three things the Lord gave to me. I'm going to give it to you, and then we're done. Number one, the first issue that we have with this incident, the first issue we have, hear me, youth leaders, hear me, teachers, hear me, parents. This is so critical. Point number one, the lamb was visible to the lion and the bear. The lamb was visible to the lion and the bear. When the lambs are out in the open and visible, it is saying that the sheep is not doing his job. The job of the sheep, glory be to God, is to build a hedge around the lamb so that the lamb is not seen. Oh man, there are too many of our lambs that are out in the open. What are you talking about, sir? I'm not talking in the natural, I'm talking in the spiritual. Because we don't have the kind of prayer life we should have, because we're not lifting up a hedge over them, we're not anointing them with oil and covering our children, they are open to the devil. The devil, listen to me, let me give you scripture before I shout. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29, you find these words. Matthew 12, 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Oh my God, I could preach this for 3 hours. He says to us, beloved, he says the only way for you to get in the interior of a house is if you get past the strong man. It's the strong man that's supposed to be protecting what's in the house. If the lion and the bear has full sight to an exposed lamb, it's because the persons that should be the strong man were not in place.
Thank you for tuning in to The Life Experience. You've been listening to a portion of a message from our pastor, Bishop Denzel Rolle of Life Worship Center. We invite you to join us at any of our weekly services held at the C.H. Reeves Auditorium, located Mini Street just off of Robinson Road. For more information on our ministry, visit us at facebook.com/thelifeexperience or Instagram, #LWCBahamas. You can also contact us at our office, 601-5125. We look forward to seeing and hearing from you. Join us every weekday here on Glory 93.9 FM. Until next time, have a life-filled day.